You're listening to a download from the outdoorstation.co.uk. Number 485.
Hello and welcome back to the Outdoor Station. How are you feeling today? I don't mean those aches and pains, the physical feelings, but the emotional and mental equilibrium in your life. I know there are many in our international audience who listen to these podcasts while sitting on a hillside somewhere, walking the dog or just lying in a tent, looking at the view, taking deep lungfuls of fresh air and feeling calm, balanced and at one with the world. Apparently, according to Harvard Medical School, just 15 minutes a day in the outdoors, walking and changing your surroundings, can not only help your heart and physical health, but more importantly, your mental health and well-being too. In this podcast, I talk with Ellie Bishop, creator of the well-known and popular blog, To Outdoors and Beyond, which she started some 5 years ago following a serious mental health breakdown. Ellie is a mountain leader and an Ordnance Survey Get Outdoors champion who works in the outdoors education sector. In this podcast, she talks quite candidly about what happened to her and how she ultimately found balance and peace within the outdoors. The purpose of this conversation isn't to offer solutions or answers, but to help anyone who may feel totally overwhelmed by life at the moment to take the first step and talk openly with someone who can help, maybe your GP or one of the various agencies within the show notes, all of whom will listen and not judge. Ellie's story isn't by far unique, but the perfect storm you may recognise, that of work pressures and demands, personal standards and expectations, balancing family life, and that modern devil which surrounds us, which is social media.
Well, I think definitely, I've always been passionate about the outdoors. I first worked in the outdoors when I was sort of 16, working as a coach in canoeing and lots of walking. But along the way, I kind of lost my direction with the outdoors and ended up working as a designer. But 5 years ago, having worked for a number of years in education, I had a breakdown. And it came as a massive shock to me. And the first thing that I felt was right for me was to get up to the Lake District, which is a special place for me, and also where my best friend lives, and just walk and just get outside and get up in the mountains. And I instantly started to feel better. It was like the weight had been lifted off me. It was absolute magic. And walking up Skiddaw, I suddenly realised that this was something that I wanted to do every day because of how it made me feel. And I soon began to realise over the course of setting up my blog that actually this was something that everybody could access, and that getting outside really can be a stepping stone and be a strategy for helping with mental health. So that's kind of where it started. It was almost 5 years ago now. And
do you mind me asking the sort of nature of your breakdown? I mean, was it a work-related stress or a relationship-type stress? How did it sort of culminate?
It was definitely at the time, the trigger that set it off was work-related. I was working in senior management at a local art college and part of a very large university. I was a course leader for a textile design degree, a job that was my dream job, and I loved it, absolutely adored every minute of it. But it took up literally every moment of my time. And I was averaging towards the end, towards the, sort of the peak of my breakdown, about 2 hours sleep a night, which was fitful at best. And I was running on empty to the point that we were on a summer holiday that summer, and I was in France and I was on my phone and I was doing social media, making sure that that was up to date, trying to make sure that I was getting students in, interested, because the numbers weren't high enough for the course to possibly run. So it was just constant pressure. And the pressure within education, full stop, is immense, which I'm sure all teachers out there will relate to.
Would you say that there was pressure in the job and what was expected of you, but then did you also add some more pressure to yourself?
Oh, yeah. Oh, massively. Yeah, I'm a perfectionist anyway, and I'm one of those people who is rubbish at delegating. So I had an amazing team of people who worked with me, but 9 times out of 10, I would think that it's easier if I just do it myself. So I would always put pressure on myself. And that's something that's been indicative of me all my life, really. But it was only when I had the breakdown and I finally got the diagnosis of the anxiety and depression, and at that point it was stress related, that I then went into therapy and found out that it's something that I've had since childhood. And I can actually go back to some of my earliest memories and pinpoint times as a very, very young child where anxiety, which in the 70s was just you worried a lot or you're oversensitive, you know, anxiety, the word didn't exist. It's a lovely, lovely modern term. But as a child, I just literally worried about everything. And I can track it through childhood, teenage years, which were just horrific. And then lots of things that happened because of my anxiety that then pushed me into directions that maybe I shouldn't have gone into, which then obviously culminated in this big, as I call, brain freeze. I called it Frank. I named it. So Frank was just huge and consumed me for 6 months. So it was stress work related that triggered it, but I soon found out that it was something that had been prevalent in me all my life.
And so at its worst then, when it sort of Frank came knocking on the door with his sledgehammer.
Lovely Frank.
You know, physically, mentally, where were you? Unable to get out of bed, or you just weren't thinking straight, or what was your daily life? I'm just trying to relate it to people that might be going or facing potential similar situations or similar emotions.
It was all of the above, really. Sleep got better as I was put onto an antidepressant. I turned those down for a long, long time. I was determined I was going to work without them. But sleep started to improve, which then helped. But the thing I found the most, and certainly when I have dips now, so I've just come out of a depression, is that it doesn't matter how tired I am. When I go to bed, I couldn't get to sleep and I can't get to sleep. And when I am asleep, it's very fitful and I wake a lot. But then when I am due to get up in the morning, I can't wake up. And just the prospect of getting up and going to work and having to face the world is one of the worst things possible. So that was a huge thing. So it wasn't agoraphobia in that full sense, but there certainly were days when I couldn't get out of the front door, and just the idea of having to go, you know, take my son, walk him to school, I couldn't do that because the idea of seeing people, because where I was at that time was that I was going to be judged for being a failure, so I literally couldn't get out the front door. But that was when I started to learn about the condition that I had. And there was a fantastic program with, I'm based in Herefordshire, and Herefordshire Mental Health, they run a program called Let's Talk. And the first step before you go on to counselling from the NHS is you go on a 6-week program, which teaches you the science behind what anxiety and stress is. And it was like my whole world had just been sort of, there was a light came on, basically, that I was learning about this stuff. And I realised that there is science behind it. And there was a reason why I had a shoulder impingement for 15 years, and it was stress. Because as soon as I'd stopped doing what was stressful, my shoulders were fine. So the physicality of it and those links were fascinating. And then I started to learn about the power of the outdoors and how vitamin D, sunshine, even on a cloudy day, actually scientifically helps us. How fresh air, being surrounded by nature in whatever format. Now that can be your local park, it can be your back garden, it can be your balcony where you make an effort just to sow some seeds and have some plants. So it can be something quite small. Or for those of you who are more confident, or those of us, it can be climbing mountains, it can be walking along rivers and all those sorts of things. And then further to that, there was a fantastic article done by Harvard University about how just 15 minutes outside every day is proven to help. And I clung on to that because I suddenly started to realise that actually 15 minutes is achievable. And when I was at my worst, that was my goal. And if I could do 15 minutes, but if 15 minutes of outside was me standing on the doorstep for 5 minutes, running around the block really fast for 5 minutes, and then catching my breath back again outside the front door for another 5 minutes, that was something that I'd achieved. So then I could go to bed and think, I did that. I've achieved that goal. And not only was I helping myself mentally, but I was also helping myself physically. And then it's something I come back to. So over the weekend, you know, as I said, I've just come out of the depression.
Do you mind me asking what form it took 5 years on now? Now you're obviously much better. Is that the right thing to say?
Oh, yeah. I'm much, much more...
I'm safe.
I'm much more proficient at being mentally insane. Yeah.
I've got a certificate.
Yeah. I have a certificate. I do. It's amazing. It's brilliant. I now have a puppy who's going to be registered as a mental health dog as well. So what form it takes now, do you mean?
Yeah. What do you go through now?
It's really odd. I was listening to Ruby Wax. She's one of the first books that I read when I had my breakdown. And she was talking on a podcast, funnily enough, about how it doesn't matter how well-trained and well-versed you are and what it is that you've got, it still comes. It's just that you know that it's coming. And so for me, it's always the sleep is the first thing. As soon as I start having problems with sleep, the alarm bell starts to ring with me and I think, okay, it's on its way. And it can be completely out of nowhere. Especially at the moment, it drives me mad when I'm having these depressions, pardon the pun, but because actually where I am with my life, I am incredibly happy, and happier than I've ever been, ever. So when I do get a depression and I see that cloud coming and the sleep starts to become fitful and short and not very productive, and then my kids, bless them, I start to get really snappy and I get quite short-tempered, not quite, I get incredibly short-tempered. The smallest things will set me off, but always within the safety of the people that I love. So then what I start doing is I start living these two weird lives. So the life at home, where the mental health is in control completely and I'm just this monster and I'm struggling to sleep, struggling to get out the door, thinking that I need to cook meals and I can't physically cook a meal, so my daughter is having to cook, to then go into work where I work with children every day, giving them their first experience of being in the outdoors. And I have to put on this whole show and this big smile and this big, you know, lovely, it's amazing, let's go and have fun, kids. And it's really tiring. It's one of the most exhausting things ever. And that's kind of how it manifests itself now. And it's frustrating rather than frightening now.
Okay, so Frank's had children and it's and it's toddlers.
Yes! That's so perfect. Yeah, and they're a nightmare.
Yeah, okay.
But they're different because when I had Frank, I was scared because I didn't know that it was ever going to end. And it went on for a long time. We're talking a good... I think when I was really bad was a good 3 to 4 months. And then I started to come out of it. And then after 6 months, when I finally made the decision to leave my job, and that was actually, the line was drawn and that weight was lifted. But yeah, you're right. They're like little toddlers. They're little sods. And they can be like this one, 4 or 5 days. or they could be a couple of weeks. Christmas was a very bad one. That was 2 weeks, 3 weeks probably. That was the worst one since.
I mean, if you recognise they're coming, and, and you know, you can hear the patter of tiny feet. It's not like coming. Well, it sounds very similar to a migraine. You know it's coming, and you're just going to have to lie down in a dark room. Yeah.
The difference is now is I know that there is an end to it. Right. It's a bit like childbirth. When you have the first one, you're there thinking this is never going to end, and it does, and it's amazing. And then you have the second one, you're like, yeah, it's fine. I know what to do. I'm just going to grin and bear it, get through it, and I know that it's going to be fine at the end. So I think it's very similar. So I know that there is an end. And also through the program that I've been writing over this year, but Mind, Body and Life, where I'm talking on my blog about how you can do simple things with your mind. So things like meditation, affirmations, really, you know, all those cheesy quotes we see on Instagram, actually, if you start repeating them to yourself, you know, there's little things you can do. And then with your body, so that idea of getting outside for 15 minutes or just moving or just engaging in yoga, that's an amazing thing that I do and I couldn't be without it. And then life, things you can do with your life, simple things like just keeping your environment tidy. Okay, it doesn't have to be clean. My house isn't clean, but it's tidy. So my senses, when I look at them, are relieved by that. So there are little things you can do. And I'm building up this kind of toolkit as the year goes on. So I can use those. But when I'm really bad, it doesn't matter how many tips and strategies I've got. It makes no difference because that toddler is still just on and on and on. And you crack.
You're listening to theoutdoorstation.co.uk. Award-winning producers of podcasts to inform, inspire and entertain lovers of the great outdoors everywhere.
And I suppose adding to the mix of the emotions and the situation and the awareness, especially these days, is the magic of social media.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Oh, don't you just love it, hate it, love it, hate it. Social media is... it's amazing because it gets the word out there. It's something that, I don't know the actual figures, but I imagine it's 90-odd percent of people are engaging with it in some way. You know, my mum, who's 75, engages with it. My son, who is 11, engages with it. You've got this massive, you know, part of the population who are connecting with it. And not just on a daily basis, but we're talking an hourly basis. I mean, the figures for Instagram and the spike of how it shoots up just in the morning, because the first thing people do is pick up their phone, have a scroll through Instagram. So there is this potential with social media to actually reach people. And if you're able to reach them and give them a message and a positive message, that actually just those small steps outside, you know, we're sat here at the moment now, Simmonjack Rock, absolutely stunning location, and it's fully accessible to those 90-odd percent people. And actually for them to come here and park, walk up, look at an amazing view and walk back to the car, let's say that's roughly, 15 minutes. They're just these little things. So if you can be using social media to encourage people to go to those places that are accessible, where they can feel safe to an extent because someone is actually almost holding their hand via social media to do it, then it's great. But for me personally, social media is, it's that little devil on the shoulder. You've got the devil and the angel. So it's wanting to raise awareness of how amazing the outdoors is and getting outside and how it can help mental health. But equally, I have to think of myself, because in order for me to put that content out there, I have to engage in social media. I'd love to be able to, and I do it a bit more now, to go on, post, do what I have to and run away, because it's for everybody, regardless of whether they have mental health issues or not, it's the comparison. You're confronted, you're bombarded by these images and these quotes and these things of how amazing everybody's life is. And isn't it wonderful? Because this weekend I climbed up this mountain and next weekend I'm going to run up this one. And you're there in your room with your chocolate digestives and your hot chocolate and Netflix thinking, there's a front door there and I can't get out of it, but I'm going to carry on scrolling through. And you're just, you can imagine people, and I've been there as well, you're just going lower and lower and lower and your self-esteem is just dropping and dropping.
I heard an interesting fact not so long back that the dopamine that we get when we get likes is one thing, but also yes. Dopamine creates a yearning to find more. So, and I'll happily hold my hand up and be a victim to this. Mm. Yeah, I will follow a story and then I'll squirt off sideways because yeah. There's an interesting link there and I've not seen that person's name before. What do they do? Oh, well, they've been here, etc., yes. etc.
Yeah, it is, totally. There's a guy who's done that. There's a video, isn't there? Have you seen on Facebook? And he's a doctor, like a psychologist. And he talks about that. And actually it's something I've shown my kids about that addiction to social media. And it is that dopamine, you're getting that hit. So when we were younger, we'd go out down the park with our can of cider and a packet of John Player Special. And
that classy, was a classy
totally,
girl.
Totally, well, actually, Tennant Super. But, you know, and that was our dopamine. Mm. Because whereas now, they're getting it from social media. So on the one hand, we've got kids who aren't going out and getting drunk and smoking, but they're getting their hit from social media, but what they're not getting is social life. And therefore they're not, you know, it's all kind of a bit weird and a bit wrong.
Yeah, it's a strange topic. I mean, it's a strange title, social media, because it's media, but it isn't really social. It's more bragging or fantasy, because as you quite rightly say, a lot of people who post, actually it isn't posting that it's really piddling down with rain and they're soaking wet and they're fed up. They've just seen the sun come through the clouds for a second and taken a pretty picture.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. And that's what we have to try and remember, is that it's a snapshot of a very small moment in time. And actually, I also know people who will go out on one walk and take reams of photographs and then HDR the hell out of them. And you're like, where are the shadows? Odd. And then they drip feed them through their social media over a period of weeks. So it looks like that they are going out on the mountains every day. Well, they're not. They've been out maybe three times. So there is a falseness to it as well. And also I know that there are a lot of people out there. And actually this is a fine thing to do, because who will post stuff that they know people want to see and won't put anything out there that is in any way personal. And that equally is fine, because why should they? Mm. But then there's this whole idea of responsibility. If we're in a position where we're wanting to raise awareness of whatever it is, for me it's mental health and getting outside. For other people it could just be the great outdoors, or it could be cycling, or it could be whatever. If we're consciously connecting with that volume of people, do we not have a certain amount of responsibility to be more honest with them about the realities of what it's all about? Because if we're constantly presenting something that's all fluffy and pink and unicorns and marshmallows and rainbows, you then encourage people to go out and they find that it's absolutely peeing it down with rain and it's blowing a hooly. And they don't have the right kit and they're up on a mountain and they're in their sandals with their bag for life. But so-and-so did some great photos up here and it looked lovely. So it's finding that balance, I think, isn't it, in social media, of how we represent the reality, but we encourage and inspire as well.
It is hard. I mean, it's a very fine line, isn't it? Because I remember a couple of years back there was a some research on the fact that the percentage of people that were going out purely to record the event and not experience the event.
Oh, I've done that. I would totally put my hands up and say that I've done that. I did it last night. Not so much, but my son was on and on at me. Can we go swimming in the river? Can we go swimming in the river? Bearing in mind, I live 5 minutes walk from the River Wye, and we can be there and swimming in it within 7 minutes. And I was, because I've just come out of a dip, I was like, really? And then this kind of thing went in my head. It's like, oh, it's okay. Sun's shining. Get some couple of really good photos for this. So I did it myself. And those photos are on Instagram. Please, everyone, go and have a look. They're there. And I may even have put a cheesy quote in there, if you're really lucky. So, yeah, people do that. And that's very real. But how we deal with that, and how we deal with that to help people with their mental health, I've got no idea.
Well, I think we're all sort of fumbling our way through it, really. Yeah. I mean, I've as people know from listening to these podcasts, I give it as it is.
Yeah.
If it's a wet night, it's a wet night.
Yeah, I love them.
But where are we now then? What are you finding? You're 5 years down the line with the website.
Yeah.
And you have been obviously active with your social media and with your Ordnance Survey Get Outside Champion. You're now one of those. You're one of them.
I am one of them.
Champions. So, what are you finding now? Is the sort of general feedback that you're getting from your posts? Are you finding that there are people there that need a little bit of guidance, a little bit of direction of where to go in, that share their problems with you?
Yeah, definitely. Mental Health Awareness Week was one of those times where feedback went off the scale. It was a very intense week. I decided to encourage as many of my fellow Ordnance Survey Get Outside champions and other people as well around me, so friends and family, to record a little soundbite. And all I wanted them to do was answer the question, how does getting outside help your mental well-being? And the response was amazing. I had so many videos. We're talking, you know, I was, you know, 6, 8, 10 a day going out. Really, really good. But I then had to manage that myself, personally, as well as having a full-time job, being a single parent of 2 kids. And it was really challenging. And I was getting a few messages through the week from people going, this is great, I love that you're doing this. Do you mind if I send you a video? And I'm like, yeah, please do. It's lovely. So I had people who follow me on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook were sending me stuff, and I was sending those out. So it was incredibly successful. And when I look at the figures, it's lovely. It's a bit scary. But at the end of the week, I was literally done in. If I could have never switched on social media again, I would quite happily have done so, to the point that I had a week off and I actually deleted them off my phone so that I wasn't even tempted to go on them. However, when I got back the week later, I had over 300 messages from people, and they were all about mental health and where they're at. And so I then found myself in a position where I wanted to reply to every single one of them personally, and I did. It took a long time. So that response was quite overwhelming. And generally, the response that I get to the mental health posts are much more active than the ones I get for the outdoors ones.
Are people acknowledging the combination of the topics, the mental health and the outdoors, or are they purely talking about their issues with mental health?
No, they do. And actually, on Twitter, there are a couple of people on there who I wouldn't say, yeah, I suppose it's weird, isn't it? You can't become friends with people. Mm. And I don't know what the term is, but we've connected, basically. And
I go for familiar strangers.
Familiar strangers. I like that. Familiar strangers who are also talking about the power of getting outside and mental health. And we have this wonderful kind of relationship where we all, you know, comment and we support and we share. And that's growing as well. That, and, you know, something that started off, I think there were about sort of 3 or 4 of us. It's now growing. There's about 30 of us who now sort of combine our thinking together, and we're sharing, we're discussing topics, and we're you know, tweeting those out there into that wonderful world of Twitter land. So it is growing, and it is becoming much more talked about. And actually, there's been a lot more media interest as well about the power of getting outside. There's people like Bella Mackey who recently published a book all about how starting running helped her mental health. There's the author Bryony Gordon as well, who has set up now. She was a journalist for many years. She was an addict and is recovered, and she runs, and she also does a lot of walking, and she's set up this amazing scheme which I'm about to become involved with, called Mental Health Mates, where they do walks, local walks. They can be short, they can be long, and it's for people who have got mental health issues or not, or just want to come along to a walk where they're able to connect with people and talk about things. So there is a lot more happening, and it's really exciting to see it happening.
I suppose in many ways, as life has changed for us and our children, and technology has moved the way it has, and concerns about safety and outdoors, and all these other elements, which has resulted in people being dropped off at the school gate, not cycling to school or walking to school, not carrying heavy bags to school or whatever, because there's no distance for them. It seems interesting that it all seems to be culminating in this situation where we as humans have created a lot of our own problems by not doing very much physically on a daily basis, which would have been our normal commute or whatever it may have been. And then, of course, that's combined with the joys of social media, as we've discussed, where you spend a lot of time hunched over the phone or hunched over the computer. And even when you're outdoors, you're walking around with the phone in front of you doing a selfie or taking pictures of your kids swimming in the river.
Cheeky.
it's a bit of a mixing pot, isn't it? Yeah. We've problems we've created for ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's so true. And the irony is, with all that, I was talking to my kids the other day, is that it's the media that have created all these issues, because when you look at the statistics, there's no more crime as such, you know, serious crime nowadays. And there wasn't, there's probably a lot more in the Victorian times. You know, they were absolutely insane. I mean, going around doing anything and everything. But because media, the media, you know, really heightens people's awareness of these things, it's making everybody a lot more insular. And that's something that I know the Ordnance Survey work really hard on. That's why they've got this sort of team of 60 of us, these champions, so that we can hopefully encourage people from a similar sort of socio-demographic background to us to do something outside. But then you've also got people like Forestry England and you know, wildlife trusts and the National Trust, all these people really trying to engage with younger people as well. And in my job, where I work as an outdoor instructor, and the point of that is to give children that little spark that, you know, to the little seed, let's say, for them to plant at the age of 6, 7, 8, whatever it is, that makes them think. And it could be not until they're 26 that they think, oh, I remember going for that forest walk when I was on that residential. That was amazing. I might go and do that. And if that is something that we can do, just one picture on social media might be enough to spark one person to think, I'd quite like Simon Jack Rock, I'm going to go there. Then I think we just need to keep plugging at it.
As a regular listener, you'll know how you feel when you're in the outdoors and the value it can add to your well-being. It's easy to forget, though, as daily life appears to bombard us all with more and more, and not instead of. The outdoors isn't the one-stop shop solution, but combined with seeking help and advice from professionals, I'm sure it adds to your toolkit to find your balance once again. My thanks to Ellie for being so open and honest. All the links to her, her social media, and the various charities that may be able to help can be found over on the show notes on theoutdoorstation.co.uk. So until next time, folks, take care of yourself and take care out there. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To hear or see more from our extensive free library, please visit theoutdoorsstation.co.uk.